Good morning. I want to say again real quick, I think we had a very good gospel meeting this last week with Brother Ray Warfel. I hope I can keep your attention the way he was able to. I found myself just locked onto him all week. He's a very good speaker and really appreciate him being here. And this morning, I would like to talk to you about what it takes to be interested in the Lord's work. We can all probably admire someone that has a very strong faith, someone that is active in their work, they're happy, they're content. When we see these people, we may imagine, what are they doing differently that I'm not? And so what comes to mind when I think of someone like that in the Bible is Paul. When we talked about, we learned about Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus and he was persecuting Christians. He did it fervently. He did it because he thought he was supposed to be doing it. He was active in it. He was confident he was doing the right thing. He thought that's what he was supposed to do. Then, when he becomes Paul, and he realizes he was wrong in persecuting Christians, he does a complete 180, and now he is strong. He is fervent. He serves Christ to the best of his ability. He was strong in his faith, even when he was doing something against God's will. He was still strong in what he did. But yet, when we look at Christians in the world today, I think we can say that there are several, well, I don't want to say several, that Christians vary widely across the board. Some are very zealous for the work. We see there where Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonians. In both of those letters, in the very beginning of them, he praises them for their strong faith and their love for one another. They had zeal. So what does this zeal look like? Maybe attending services regularly. We should want to do that. We should have that fire within us that makes us want to be here. We're willing to make sacrifices for to either be here or to do the Lord's work. We're willing to make these sacrifices. We're willing to study the Bible diligently, dedicate set time to opening the scriptures and teaching others, inviting others. That may be what zeal looks like to the Lord, is being active, wanting to be involved, happy to be here. But then you might have some Christians who are lukewarm. We see that in Revelations when the church, the letter to the church in Laodicea, when they explained to them that they were lukewarm. What does this look like maybe to us today? Well, it might look like we don't show up to services all the time. We're here sometimes, but sometimes we're not. We may feel like, or it may look like, we're giving leftovers to the Lord. He's not getting our first, or he's getting just whatever's left. Okay. We neglect opportunities to study, and we have little personal work that we are contributing to. But then a third style, or something we may see amongst Christians, are some are maybe even cold, completely forsaking the Lord. Paul's letter to Timothy, when he talked about, he said even Demas, loving this present world, left him and fled. So if we see Christians quitting the church, now, I've been a member here off and on because of jobs over the last 22 years or so, and I have seen members leave the church. I think we can all say that we've seen that before, right? These are cold Christians. They might be covetous of their own time and money. That's more important to them. Their Bible's collecting dust, hasn't been open for a long time. Have to blow the dust off of it when you get it off the shelf. Or they might even be ashamed of the church. So those are some of the examples we may see in Christians around about us that may or may not be the best examples. Some of them are good, some of them are not. So what I want to look at today is, what does it take for us to maintain a high level of interest in the Lord's work? How can we keep ourselves interested in the Lord's work? If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 1, starting there in verse 9, we'll read 9 and 10. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We find Paul here praying for the Colossians. He mentions three things in these two verses. He mentions the contribute interest, desire, fervor, and zeal. So, or contribute to their interest is desire, fervor, and zeal. He prayed that they may be filled with knowledge. So, knowledge is something that we need. It's what it takes to be interested in the Lord's work. Knowledge increases interest. I think we can all safely say that. If we are knowledgeable about a subject matter, we will be interested in that subject matter. When you go to talk to someone, maybe it's the first time you've met them, and you're at a wedding reception, and you're sitting at a table with someone you've never met before, and they start bringing up a conversation. You can probably look back if you've had this experience and see that they're probably talking about something they're very interested in or know something about, because that's what they can carry a conversation on about. We always want to talk about what we know, partially, so we look, I don't know if we want to look smarter or not, but we all want to know or want people to think that we know what we're talking about. So think of it in a sports aspect. If I've never played a sport, I've never played cricket, maybe it looks like baseball, but it's not baseball. I've never played cricket. I don't have an interest in cricket. I don't have an interest in learning how. It's not something that interests me. Now, I did play baseball in high school or growing up, and I was very interested, and I still am interested in it. So I think we can safely say that if you can find a hobby, you can find something that you are interested in, that you get knowledge about, it draws your interest to it. So think of a hobby that you may have even today. Maybe you like to fish, or you like hunting, or you like sewing, crocheting, quilting, anything like that. Any hobby you may have, most of these hobbies aren't, okay, just put a lure on a fishing line and cast it out, you'll fish, you'll catch fish. Well, it doesn't work that way. You can take all kinds of, weather, lures, the type of fish you're fishing for. There's all kinds of things that goes into specifically fishing if you want to be really successful at it. So as you learn these new techniques, you become more interested. It's something you enjoy doing. You're like, okay, so now how can I catch bigger fish? How can I do this? So any hobby you have, your knowledge grows with interest. If you're interested in it, you'll become more knowledgeable. Turn over to Colossians. Again, we will be in Colossians for a lot of this. We'll bounce back and forth to Psalms a couple of times, but we'll stay in Colossians chapter 1 for the most of this. Let's start there in verse 4. Colossians chapter 1, and there in verse 4, read through verse 6. Paul says here, "Since we heard of your faith," talking to the church here, "since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." Their knowledge in the Lord has brought forth fruit. There in verse 6, we see that. They are bearing fruit in response to their understanding of God's grace, their knowledge. Again, the more we learn of God's will, the more we understand His will, the more excited we should become, the more interested we should become. If you turn with me back to Psalms, the 119th Psalm, there's three verses here I want to read. The psalmist gives us an example of just this. So in Psalms 119, I'm going to read verse 111. It says, "Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Turn over to verse 162, Psalms 119, and in verse 162, it says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." Very thankful of the knowledge that they've got from the word. They rejoice. And in verse 164, "Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments." We obtain knowledge, it draws our interest to God's will. Something else, obtaining this knowledge requires diligence. In order to get this knowledge, it requires diligence. Now, I think, let's see. If we're negligent, we're going to have to be taught over again. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We see here, we're all familiar with these verses. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." That's verse 4, I apologize. Chapter 5 and verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." When we think about being diligent to acquire this knowledge, I will speak for myself in saying that I did take math classes in high school. I took algebra in high school. But I will tell you, my kids come to me and ask for help, and I can't do it. When I graduated high school and I graduated college and I no longer felt like I needed algebra, I forgot about algebra. And I can't do it. Every once in a while, there'll be a spark of something that comes back, but it's not enough to sustain me. Very, very few times does that happen. And a lot of times when I think that spark is a legit spark, the fire gets put out by someone else that I know. So I didn't stay diligent to it. I didn't stay up with it. I wasn't able to concentrate on it because it didn't interest me. I didn't want to do it when I was there, and I didn't want to do it when I didn't have to do it. And then when they go and change it in school, they change it to a new math or whatever they want to do it and teach them how to count backwards or whatever it is from what I'm not used to. It's hard because it doesn't interest me. And so I think we can all relate to that. And without the diligence to keep up on the Lord's work, we're going to lose it too. It's the same concept. If it doesn't interest us, we're going to neglect it and we're not going to stay up on it. To grow, we must always desire the word like a babe desires milk. A baby that is hungry will let you know. They'll cry. They know they need it. We should constantly be crying for the word. We should know we need it. How often do you feed a newborn? All the time, right? And, every 2 hours or even like that. How many times? Do you guys pick up your Bible and read it every 2 hours? Probably not. I mean, I know life gets in the way, but I think you guys get my point here. It takes diligence. It requires effort on our part to stay knowledgeable in the Word. So as we turn back to Colossians again, we turn back to Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Looking there again, we read chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We note his desire that they walk worthy of the Lord. All right. So to knowledge, therefore, we must add participation. They are walking worthy to the Lord. They are actively participating. So for us to grow, we need to participate. This is true in many of the things I've already mentioned. If you think about sports again, I have seen our high school has some foreign exchange students that are with us this year. Neither one of there's two of them on the softball team. I think we have four total this year, foreign exchange students. There are two of them on the softball team. Neither one of them even knew what softball was when they arrived. One is from Belgium and one is from Germany, I believe. they wanted to be on the team, they're on the team. Now, they don't play, they're not starters, we all kind of all understand that concept, but they are so excited to get to participate. And every little bit, they learn a little bit more, and they learn a little bit more, and they're asking, they're inquisitive, but they actually, when they get to go out and play or hit, and they are just so, it's cool to watch. They're giddy. And even if they get out, they just want to participate. And it's an amazing sight to see. And when you can look at that and think of this, you kind of understand. It's win or lose, they're participating, they're doing it, and they love it. And it really is cool. But participation draws that interest. It draws you wanting to do more. As a spectator, I'm speaking for myself here. I love to play the game of baseball, but as I'm sitting watching the game, I just want to be on the field. I still have that drive. I still want to do it. I still want to be out there. But I can't. I'm a spectator, so it's totally different. But I'm interested in that topic. I want to be involved in it. And I think you can see it if maybe your children were on a sport and they didn't get to play as much as they wanted to. And they want to participate. They want to be out there. They don't want to sit on the bench. That's not fun for them because they love it. They're interested in it. So participation increases our interest. If we get to participate, we want to do better. We want to be involved. We want to learn more about it. I'm not a very good, and I'm not a very good reader. I don't want to say that. I can read very well. I just can't sit down with a book. It tends to put me to sleep. And I have a hard time going back to it after I've done it. But I can see my children will open up a book and not put it down. It'll be in the car on the way somewhere, going back. As they're walking, they're reading. It interests them. They want to participate. And the more they read, the more they want to read, which is great. Maybe that's what I need to get started. But they are participating in what they love to do. And again, the more we participate, the more we want to. But now, participating in God's work increases interest also. Okay, turn over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we can see here where participation is blessed. John chapter 17 and verse 13. It says, "But now I come to you," and Jesus is saying this, "but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them." So in doing God's will, there is blessedness. We can have joy fulfilled by doing his will. Happiness comes to those who walk in ways of the Lord. We see that in Psalms, in the first two verses in Psalms 119. If we can walk in the ways of the Lord, we will be happy. We will have joy. And certainly, there's a happier conscience and satisfaction in knowing that we're a doer of the word. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting there in verse 24. We'll go through verse 27 here. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We see here where the wise man, being a doer of the word, was happier. There was satisfaction at the end of that. His house didn't fall. But yet, if we're not a doer of the word, if we are the foolish man, we're not going to be as happy. We can't be hearers only. There has to be participation. Has to be participation. Any labor that we do for the Lord, will not be in vain. If we look at First Corinthians, there in chapter 15. Anything we do for the Lord will not be in vain. Chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always being a doer. Always being a doer. It is not in vain. We will be rewarded. And that one leads to the third thing Paul was praying for when we look at Colossians chapter 1 there in verse 10. It will lead to a heightened interest in the Lord's work is success. If we can have success, it will increase our interest. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful, successful, in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Success is huge. Not mandatory, but it is definitely a help. Success will increase our interest. Again, if we engage in these activities I've talked about, when the foreign exchange students for the first time hit the ball, that was success to them. Whether they got out or not, they made contact with the ball. They were excited to do it again. They had success. If we never succeed in what we are attempting to do, how likely are we going to continue to do it? We're going to give up, right? It's discouragement to us. We're not always going to go back to it. If we're not going to be successful, we'll find something else to do. Success in God's work also increases our interest. So, Bible studies. When we're out here on a Wednesday night, or back in the classroom at a Bible study, or even at your home if you're having a Bible study privately, when we learn, or you're studying the Bible by yourself, when we learn of what a passage really means, it makes us feel good that we understand it, right? Maybe we didn't understand it completely, or we thought we did, and then someone is like, no, look at it this way, and we're like, okay, I get it. When we understand a passage in the Bible, I can speak for myself. It's a good feeling. It's a great feeling. Just like if someone new comes to you and you have a Bible study, when you see that they understand it, that's success to us. Maybe we already knew it, but we taught someone else something new. And we see that they're enjoying it, they're happy, they're excited about it. That's success to us. That is success in God's work. Personal edification for you and yourself. You know, to see those that we have taught to grow up in the church. Maybe you started with them when they were really small, and you've seen them in the classrooms, and they've worked their way up, and then you see them accept the invitation, fully giving themselves to the Lord. That's a good feeling, is it not? Knowing that you had a part in that. Everyone in this building if we have a child in this building that goes through the ranks, so to speak, up through our classrooms and ends up becoming a member of the church, we should all be happy about that. That should all make us joyful. That's success. Maybe not on an individual basis or partially on an individual basis, but that's success, on a collaborative level. Turn over to 3 John. 3 John, verses 3 and 4. It says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Such a wonderful blessing to know someone that you have taught, someone that you have helped lead them to Jesus has obeyed the truth. It's a wonderful feeling. That is success in personal edification with someone, studying with someone, personal work, seeing someone obey the gospel. That is success. Many lose interest because they never taste that little bit of success or the joys of success. That's why I also wanted to open up to that the congregation as a whole, when you see one of the children work their way up, or even an adult that comes in and studies, that's a collaborative effort. We all know that being here together edifies one another. We all know that studying together is helpful, and to see someone obey the gospel is success on all of our parts. So if you haven't had that personal success, then take it as a collective. Let that drive you. Let that drive your interest to continue, to participate, to have that knowledge. If you're not interested in the Lord's work, or if you lost interest, it's likely to be the lack of those three things. Didn't have knowledge or lost it because you weren't diligent. The participation isn't there, and you're not experiencing the success of your work. Those three things can keep us interested in the Lord's work. And those of us who are willing to maintain it, to maintain that interest, Paul shares two more thoughts here. We will not be alone in our efforts. So Colossians 1 and verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. And God will work with us. He will be with us. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and there verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We are not alone. God is with us. God is working with us. But we have to be diligent. The second one, we should be thankful that God has qualified us to receive these rewards. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We are qualified for this. Even though you may not think you are, we are qualified for these rewards. We are qualified for this work. But if we do not have the interest to do the Lord's work, we're probably lacking one or all of those three things: knowledge, participation, and success. Those three things will help us. One more passage, and the lesson is yours. Luke chapter 2. Or one more reading. Luke chapter 2 and verses 49 through 52. Starting there in verse 49 of Luke chapter 2. And he said to them, why did you seek me? This is now Jesus is talking about his parents. His parents have headed back to Jerusalem and they are headed back home from Jerusalem and they have left Jesus behind mistakenly or whatever. But they have come back to look for him and they found him. So in 49 he says to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus was all about his Father's work, all about his Father's business. At age 12, he was in these synagogues studying and learning. He was obtaining the knowledge. He was participating. And he was successful. Then what did verse 52 say there? He was found in favor with God. We too can can be found in favor with God if we seek to do his work and stay interested in doing his work. Are we showing the gratitude by maintaining that high level of interest to the Lord? I hope so. If not, it's not too late. We can make amends. We can make it right. We can always grow each and every day, but it takes effort. If you're here this morning and you are in need of the prayers of the congregation because you have fallen away, lack of participation maybe, we're here for you. If you're here and you have obtained the knowledge and want to obey through primary obedience, want to be added to the Lord's church, we're here for you also. If we can help in any way, please come forward. All together we stand and while we sing.